VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. If you've been a regular listener of this program, you will know that for years, and should I say even decades, we have brought up the issue of the push that's been going on for a new world order. And I remember early on people said, well, there's nothing to that. That's just a conspiracy theory. That's not really what that speaker meant when they used those words. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that conspiracy theory has taken new legs and continues to take new legs, not only since COVID came around, but also March 21st, 2022, President Biden addressing the Business Roundtable CEO quarterly meeting. And he said there's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it, and we've got to unite the rest of the world and the free world and do it. Well, you're going to hear, not my words, but let's hear President Biden as he spoke those words.
We are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people dying, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it.
Words from President Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, with us today, Alex Newman, an award-winning international freelance journalist. He's an author. He's an in-depth researcher, an educator, a consultant, a senior editor for The New American, contributes to other publications as well. He's an author writing Crimes of the Educators, A Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, founder of Liberty Sentinel. Alex, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
It's great to be with you. Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
Well, I know this topic does not take you by surprise because you've been warning about this forever and forever, but tell us your response to what we heard from President Biden say, what he said on March 21st.
Well, it's just yet another admission of what they have been planning for many generations now. And over the last 40 years or so, we've had a series of very clear statements on this topic of a new world order, kind of outlining what it looks like, when it's coming, et cetera. And so this is just another one of those. Now, I think Biden was a little bit misleading in what he said. He suggested that America was going to lead the new world order. And I think the plan of the architects of this new world order is to actually knock America down and have it be one of a concert of nations, as the architects of this plan like to describe it, that would kind of shepherd the new world order into being, and then once it's here, kind of guide it and lead it. And so the United States would be one country among several major ones, probably Russia, China, maybe Brazil, India, South Africa, Germany, the UK, some of the major industrial powers. But they've been very clear for at least a decade that they hope to eventually phase out what they describe as the unipolar world order, which is the world order where America has had basically unchallenged global supremacy, has been the global hegemon, and a move toward what they describe as a multipolar world order, where you would have a number of different poles of power that kind of all work together. And I think we're seeing the birth of that as we speak, with what's happening in Ukraine and Russia, with what just happened in Afghanistan, and with the way that the U.S. economy is being deliberately undermined, with the way our military is being deliberately undermined. The plan is to make America one among many rather than the leader of this new world order.
Do you think that President Biden knows that? Does he understand that? I mean, he talked about uniting the rest of the world and that we've got to lead this. But do you think he really knows that the U.S. is not really part of the picture here?
Well, if I'm perfectly honest, Jim, I don't think Biden really understands a lot of what's going on. I think he is reading scripts. He is reciting what's being told to him through his earpiece by his handlers. But at this point, and I say this with all due respect, I don't mean this in an offensive way, I think Biden's cognitive decline is very clear to see. I think you almost have to go out of your way to avoid seeing it. And so how much Biden truly understands about what he's reading from his teleprompter, I think is a fair question. I get the sense that at one point, I think he did understand pretty clearly. In fact, he wrote in 1992 a piece for the Wall Street Journal titled How I Learned to Love the New World Order. And I think at that point, he did understand pretty clearly what was going on. He argued for I'm quoting here, breathing life into the UN Charter. So I think at that point, he did understand. I think at this point, he's just reading from a teleprompter. But I do think his handlers probably understand very well that America is not going to be leading the New World Order per se. It may be leading the world into the New World Order, but when all is said and done and the dust settles from the current crises that are growing and escalating all around the world, it's going to be very clear that America is no longer the sole dominant player on the scene.
And we're going to enter another terminology to this, and you've been with us before, Alex, discussing this, the Great Reset. And we know that COVID has been the catalyst for promoting what's called the Great Reset, this new social order. But I am going to play, and it's 2 minutes long, but the head of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and just hear some of his words on this, and then we'll have a comment here from our guest, Alex Newman. Klaus Schwab.
The COVID-19 crisis has shown us that our old systems are not fit anymore for the 21st century. It has laid bare the fundamental lack of social cohesion, fairness, inclusion, and equality. In short, we need a great reset. We have a choice: to remain passive, which would lead to the amplification of many of the trends we see today. Polarization, nationalism, racism, and ultimately increased social unrest and conflicts. But we have another choice. We can build a new social contract, particularly integrating the next generation. We can change our behavior to be in harmony with nature again. And we can make sure that the technologies of the fourth industrial revolution are best utilized to provide us with better lives. It is obvious that we are in the midst of the most severe crisis the world has experienced since World War II. 75 years ago, countries and people came together to shape the post-war global order, which brought us decades of peace, increased global cooperation, and prosperity to hundreds of millions of people around the world. Now is the historical moment, the time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system for the need for the post-corona era. We have to mobilize all constituents of our global society to work together. We must not miss this unique window of opportunity.
Alex, sounds pretty creepy.
It's incredibly creepy. And it's all these globalist ideas and agendas and talking points all wrapped into one.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, Jim, I'm surprised. I'm almost amazed that they allowed a guy like Klaus Schwab to be the front man for this agenda, because he just, the way he talks, his accent, his mannerisms, his figures of speech, it's just so creepy. I mean, mm-hmm. it just gives you the chills just listening to it. It's almost like a villain from a bad movie trying to take over the world. But if you listen carefully to what he's saying, he gives you a lot of clues about what they're doing. They're exploiting these crises to bring about these really enormous changes in the way humanity is governed and the way business is conducted, even in the social contract. He says we need a new one. And one key element of this, Jim, and I know you've heard this as well, is he describes it as the fourth industrial revolution. He says that's a critical part of the Great Reset. And once you start digging into the fourth industrial revolution, you realize he's talking about literally changing what it means to be human. He's talking about redefining the essence of what it means to be human and merging human beings, our biological systems, with technological systems. Those are his words. So these changes are dramatic. They're unprecedented. In fact, even a decade ago, most of us probably could not have even conceived of the sorts of changes that they're talking about because the technology is just so outside of what we're used to. But I hope people are paying attention, and I hope people will pay closer attention going forward, because if these people are allowed to proceed unchecked, we're talking about some very, very dramatic and, I think, very dark changes.
You know, when you hear some of his final words there, you know, we cannot miss this opportunity. And that really is something that they're trying to seize on. We're going to take this perceived crisis and milk every ounce that we can out of this to promote our agenda.
Yeah, and that is a very common theme, a very common feeling among the elites, that crises are actually very useful opportunities for moving their agendas forward. And we all famously heard Rahm Emanuel say that crises mm-hmm. is a great yeah. opportunity. You don't want it to go to waste. It's a chance to do things that we couldn't have done before. And that is essentially what Klaus Schwab is saying, too. These crises are perfect because they will allow us to impose all of these changes on people, changes that otherwise they would not have accepted, they would not have even entertained. And he speaks clearly. We don't want this to go to waste. We've got to make use of these crises to bring in these changes while we have the opportunity.
And folks, the next crisis is not if. The word is when that's going to be unleashed. And Alex, just recently was the Economist's 7th Annual Sustainability Week. We have the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres once again use this tactic of fear-mongering, pushing the climate change panic button, basically, saying this planet is on life support. And just creating this element of fear and really getting the world all psyched up for this crisis that's going to come, which will be another step toward promoting this great reset.
That's exactly right. And the climate change crisis, they call it now, is one of the many crises they're hoping to use. And you said something critical, Jim, fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is at the heart of pushing all these agendas. Now, we know that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear.
Right.
And so we know that any fear that's being ginned up is not coming from God. But fear is very useful to the enemy for getting us to make dumb decisions. Now, we know how God feels about fear. Hundreds of times in the Bible, we're instructed to fear not. In fact, in Numbers 14 and 15, we have some incredible insight into how God feels about fear among his people. When God's people were commanded to go into this land and conquer this land, and they say, oh, but there's giants in there. You know, that's scary. And God is so enraged by this after all the miracles they had seen, after he had delivered them out of Egypt, that he actually considers destroying them.
Yes.
you know, Moses prays, but that's how God feels about fear among his people. But it is and has been for as far back as human records extend. It's been a tactic of people who want to control other people to use fear and then offer themselves or their proposed policies as the solution to that fear. So you should be terrified of COVID. You should be terrified of climate change. You should be terrified of nuclear war. You should be terrified of your neighbor. You should be terrified of people who don't think like you, people who don't look like you. There's always something we should be scared of, and they keep using this to steal our freedom.
Alex Newman with us here today. Folks, we're talking about the advancing of this new world order, the advancing of the Great Reset, and just pointing out some of the things happening in some of our current news that propels us toward these very end desires that world leaders have for us today. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, I've heard that men have one less rib than women due to the creation of Eve from Adam's rib. Is this correct?
No, it's not, Chris. This is an urban legend that's patently untrue. Men and women have the same number of ribs. The number of ribs is controlled by genetics, and this supplies the same number of ribs, even if one is taken out. The same sort of thing happens if one loses a hand in an accident. If he later has children, that child will have hands. Even though this legend has grown up in some circles, the Bible never even gives a hint that this might be true. The Bible is not a legend. It's an accurate record. we best not impose our own legendary biases on the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Friends, just because we see the numbers going down on COVID and hospitalizations and all those things, don't think that, okay, everything's over with and all this talk of globalism and control is off the table. Friends, it's only advancing. It's just taking a brief pause right now. I mean, as we were just talking about, and by the way, Alex Newman, our guest here today, you can read so many articles on issues like these at thenewamerican.com. We're seeing this Sustainability Week, Guterres, the UN Secretary General speaking, and he said, this is madness. Addiction to fossil fuels is mutually assured destruction. Alex, it seems like we're to get ready for another worldwide lockdown, not for COVID's sake, but for an emergency pertaining to a climate crisis. I mean, we've got youth climate activists right now that are taking to the streets, calling upon President Biden to declare a climate emergency.
Yes, we do. And I've watched this ratcheting up of the rhetoric over a period of 12 or 13 years now. My entire journalistic career, I've been going to these UN climate summits, and I watched the process of transformation. It went from global warming. We have to do so. In fact, before I came on the scene, it was global cooling in the 70s, 1980s. Yep. They said global cooling was going to kill us. Incidentally, they said the global cooling was being caused by man's emissions of CO2. So the solutions to the global cooling were almost exactly the same as the solutions to global warming. Get rid of hydrocarbon energy, shut down industrial production. They had some really dumb ideas. They wanted to go cover the Arctic ice cap with black soot. They reported in Time magazine that that was what the experts were calling for. They wanted to melt the Arctic ice cap. So now we look back at that and we think, wow, good thing we didn't listen to the maniacs then. But they are absolutely serious about this. They did global warming, then it was climate change, then it was climate crisis. Now it's climate emergency. And it goes along with what we were just saying before the break. They're trying to ratchet up the fear as a pretext to bring in their agenda. And in the case of the climate crisis, so-called, their agenda is to literally control every aspect of human life. And I can break it down this way. The hypothesis that this is all based on is that the gas we exhale, carbon dioxide, CO2, is a dangerous, toxic pollutant that is destroying the planet. Al Gore just last week was blabbering about how we're using the air, the atmosphere, as an open sewer because we're dumping all this CO2. And if you believe that CO2 is a toxic pollution, that you're literally exhaling toxic pollution every time you breathe out, you might come to that conclusion. But I think there's a couple of things to consider here. First of all, CO2 is a natural gas that is absolutely essential to life on this planet. Lately, they've started calling it carbon because carbon sounds a little bit dirtier, and I guess they hope we forget or that we never learned that we are carbon-based life forms. But they're acting like this CO2 is this dangerous pollution. And they are arguing that they need to be able to tax and regulate everything that emits CO2 to be able to save the planet from destruction. Well, there is nothing you can do, including breathing, including turning on a light switch, including having a meal. You can't even die without releasing CO2. Every single human activity that you can think of releases CO2. And so if you accept their premise, then every single human activity must be brought under the control of these global authorities that they're in the process of setting up. They want us to have to pay taxes for CO2 that is emitted. Now, just a quick word on the scientific side of this. Again, I've been following this issue very, very closely for about 12 years now, including going to most of these UN climate summits. This is all pseudoscience. It is absolutely preposterous. When you actually look at the data, when you look at the science, all of the fear-mongering, Jim, is based on these climate models that the UN and the people working with the UN have developed. For the last, they call it assessment report. They've done six of them now. For the last assessment report, they had something like 73, maybe it was 74 climate models. Every single one of them predicted a rapidly accelerated warming in response to increased CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere. And every single one of them was massively wrong. We have the data on temperatures. We have weather balloon data from around the globe. We've got satellite data from around the globe. These records are kept, but there's a number of satellite data sets. One of them comes from the University of Alabama at Huntsville. And what they show is that there was virtually no warming over that 20-year period, despite every single one of these climate models predicting massive accelerated warming that was going to kill us all. So the obvious conclusion here is, look, the models were all wrong. All the fear-mongering is based on the models. Therefore, we can all relax and settle down, and we don't have to give up our freedom. We don't have to destroy our economy. We don't have to give governments all these new powers to save us from this. And one more just scientific fact to throw out about this, Jim, just so people can keep this in perspective. Human emissions of carbon dioxide represent a fraction of 1% of all the greenhouse gases naturally in the atmosphere. So even if you accept the greenhouse theory, and there are legitimate questions about it, but even if you accept it, recognize that human contributions to greenhouse gases in the atmosphere are so negligible, they could all be wiped out in a day by a large volcanic eruption. So that's what we're dealing with, folks. We're dealing with pseudoscience being used to stir up fear, being used to relieve us of our freedom and to provide a pretext for global government and global tyranny.
And yet, at the same time, we're told humans are the problem. We're seeing a mass, you know, depopulation. There are countries that, I mean, cannot replenish themselves any longer. So this whole aspect of just the promotion of abortions, the reducing the human population is all part of the agenda here.
That's right. And you can actually read your Bible and you'll see that everything that God prescribes, these people are waging war on.
Yes.
So God tells us to be fruitful and multiply. God tells us that children are a blessing, that they're a heritage from the Lord. And so these people tell us, and they write this in their reports, and they teach our children in our public schools. I actually have a Agenda 21 book produced by the United Nations for the use in public schools all around the world. And one of the pages in this book, it features, I think they're like Hindu gods or something. They're sitting up on the clouds. It's an image. And you have all these storks delivering babies. And underneath, you see the cities are burning and it's just everything's out of control. And on the next page, it explains that the earth, this is a direct quote, the earth groans every time it registers another birth.
Oh my.
And so what they're pushing is the idea that children are going to cause climate change and therefore children are bad. They're causing earth to groan. So this is incredibly unbiblical. It flies in the face of what God teaches us. You're right. They use it to promote abortion. They use it to promote total control over the economy. And it's not just pseudoscience. It is unbiblical and anti-biblical.
Friends, and just one more point in this energy aspect here, I see this International Energy Agency, they've got this 10-point plan to cut oil use, reducing speed limits, work from home, cutting business air travel, imposing a SUV tax to combat the rise in fuel costs. They're talking about restricting private cars' use of roads. Maybe if you got even number plates, you can drive on some days, odd number plates others, implementing street changes to encourage walking and cycling. I mean, they are talking about totally, Alex, just a destruction of that which we know, the freedoms that we have to go out and about, but all under this guise of climate emergency.
Yes, you're exactly right, Jim. And I think one of the big agendas behind all of this is to bring about massive scarcity and massive dependence on the state. They have been working for generations to try to undermine the economic vitality of the United States, the prosperity of people around the world. They want us all living in poverty, essentially, because it makes us much easier to control. It protects more resources and more wealth for them. And so it's a very dangerous agenda. But when these people are on their own, when they think the cameras are not on, they're very open about the fact that they want to deindustrialize the United States. They want to deindustrialize the Western world. They want to shut down our air conditioners. They want to get rid of our cars. Their end goal is a massive reduction in population. Now, depending on who you talk to, that could be anywhere from 90% reduction to maybe 50% reduction in the population of the planet, but also our total regimentation of our society into a technocratic system where everybody lives in kind of stack 'em and pack 'em apartments. They all take public transportation. If and when they go out, they do want to shift more and more onto the computer where it can be controlled, data mined, archived forever, analyzed, et cetera. So the vision that these people have for the future is essentially tyranny. It's horrific. And they envision this on a global scale. And so, and I think another big component of this, Jim, that I've got to mention, and we've talked about it before on this program, while they're doing this to the Western world, and especially to the United States, that's not the case in places like China. China pretends to play along. They mouth the rhetoric. But when you look at these agreements that they're coming up with, like the Paris Agreement, I was there in Paris at the UN conference when this agreement was developed, and you can read it for yourself. Communist China, each government was supposed to come up with its own plans for what they were going to do to help save the climate. Under the leadership of Barack Obama, they basically said, we are going to massively slash our energy production. We are going to essentially undermine our economy. We're going to drive energy costs through the roof. The Communist Chinese said, okay, we're going to do nothing until maybe 2030. Then we'll possibly think about peaking our CO2 emissions. In the meantime, they're building coal-fired power plants faster than we can even keep track of them. And this is true in many parts of the world. So what's happening is they're shutting down America's economy. They're shutting down our productive capacity. And then they're just shipping that all to China, where energy costs are much more competitive, where they have slave labor available, where they don't have to worry about these crushing environmental regulations. And so what happens is you build up the economies of places like communist China that are ruled by totalitarian, yeah, mass-murdering dictatorships, and you undermine the economies of the formerly free nations like the United States, where there are still these ideas of freedom, where there are still, there's still broad support for Christianity and the Bible. And that's part of this transition that we started off talking about, from a unipolar world order to a multipolar world order. This is all by design.
You know, I find it interesting, and I just had a laugh because you were talking about communist China and how they are just completely off the hook. We are caving to them on every front, and I found it interesting. Just over the past multiple days, we've got the Biden administration that's eliminated U.S. tariffs on some 350 products made in China. It was imposed by President Trump, products that are virtually could be made here in the U.S. or other countries. And yet here we are, you know, making it harder on U.S. and making us more dependent upon China.
That's right. They're almost making it impossible to do business here. They're trying to make it impossible to manufacture here, because if you're an American businessman and you're a patriotic businessman, you want to do what's good for your country, you want to keep your factory here, you want to pay your workers well, you look at the global economic situation and you say, look, energy prices are skyrocketing here. Labor costs are skyrocketing here because of all the regulations. And yet in China, they have lots of plentiful electricity. I could manufacture these same products for a third of the price over there. How can I stay in business if I keep my factory in the United States? Yeah. So they're arranging the economy of the world in such a way as you're almost compelled to move your factories over to China and places like that. And this is, of course, again, is deliberate. These people are not stupid. They know what they're doing.
We're just 30 seconds from a break here, Alex, but Biden wants to be a leader of this new world order, yet he is weakening our U.S. economy, weakening our influence. Inflation's out of control, proposing this brand new budget now. He just gave to Congress unbelievable taxation. One would look at all of these factors and think this is a purposeful effort to collapse our economy.
And I think that's exactly what it is, Jim.
Wow. Friends, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we've got more content we need to get out here today as it relates to this great reset, the new world order, the advances that are going on right now. And, friends, it's really remarkable. We're going to just hunt and peck about around some of the other things happening in the world, from LGBT all the way up to transhumanism. So we've got a lot of ground to cover here in this next segment. Stay with us. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
VCY America is making available Ray Comfort's DVD that is causing evolutionists and atheists around the world to become unglued. Evolution versus God is a fast-moving 35-minute DVD in which Ray Comfort confronts evolutionists with a series of questions that leave them stumped and speechless about a belief system that lacks credible answers to the origins of the earth and mankind. You can obtain one DVD of Evolution versus God for a donation of $5, five copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Evolution versus God is shaking the foundation of evolutionary faith. That's one copy for a donation of $5, five copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829 or on the web at vcyamerica.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Some of you are listening today and say, wow, I had no idea this stuff was going on. But Alex, as you write for The New American, these are things you've been covering for a very, very long time.
That's right. In my entire journalistic career, we've been warning about these things. And in fact, The New American magazine has been doing this since literally before I was born. And one of the things that I find so remarkable, I go back and I read older issues of The New American magazine. And, you know, if I didn't know any better, I'd say, wow, they must have had a crystal ball or something. They must be prophets. Yeah, how can they possibly know all this stuff before it happened? And, you know, now I know they don't have a crystal ball. They're not prophets. They're just reading the materials that these people put out amongst themselves. They're listening to the speeches that these people give to each other. And when you know where to look, suddenly this stuff doesn't come as a surprise. You just won't find it on the front page of your local newspaper. You won't find it in the New York Times or the Washington Post. But it's not necessarily hidden. You just need to know where to look. And the New American magazine has done a phenomenal job over a period of many decades compiling this and sounding the alarm.
And for those who would like more information, what's the best way?
TheNewAmerican.com. People can subscribe to the print magazine there for free. They can subscribe to the daily headlines. You get all the most important news right into your inbox, and the big tech companies can't censor that, at least not yet. So TheNewAmerican.com is the place to start.
Okay, let's talk about Russia and Ukraine for just a moment. But we see, you know, horrendous things happening right now. How does this, what's going on there, advance the Great Reset, or is it totally disconnected from a Great Reset?
Well, we started early in the program talking about crises and how crises have been so critical in moving the ball down the field for these New World Order agendas, Great Reset agendas. And so just by virtue of having a crisis, they advance their objectives. But one of the things that we're seeing very clearly in this war, and we see this frequently in response to all sorts of crises, is that globalism is always marketed as the solution to the problem. And so here we have a problem. Ukraine and Russia are at war with each other. And so the solution that's being proposed is, hey, let's strengthen the United Nations. Let's bring in more players into the European Union. Let's strengthen Putin's Eurasian Union, where they're dividing up the former Soviet Union, basically, and creating a regional government modeled along the EU's lines over those former Soviet nations. You had right away when the conflict broke out that Ukraine had its application for European Union membership fast-tracked. You've got now multiple nations and governments that had never even considered joining NATO now saying they want to join NATO. The Swedes, the Finns are now openly talking about joining NATO and putting their military forces at the disposal of this supranational organization called NATO. You've got even the Swiss who for centuries, I mean, 300 years, have vigorously defended their neutrality and their national sovereignty. They've always refused to join the European Union. The last time they had a vote about it, I think it was 81% voted against joining the EU. And now they are going along with the EU on these sanctions, on all these different policies. They're essentially coordinating their policy against a particular nation with the European Union, something that they had not done for centuries because they always wanted to maintain this policy of neutrality. So we see globalism is, of course, the big winner here. And there's one more little fact that I'll throw out in there, and I've mentioned it on your program before, Jim, but it's just so critical to understand in these times. The globalists themselves have long understood that war is the best mechanism to advance globalism. After World War I, we saw, first of all, a massive transformation in attitudes. They sent all the men to go die on the battlefield. They sent all the women then into the factories to take all the jobs of the men who are now on the front lines. So you had children for the first time in American history. Most children then ended up in government school. Prior to that, homeschooling had been the norm among most Americans. Obviously, our U.S. Senate did not join the League of Nations, so that put a big monkey wrench in the plans, but World War II came along. And what happened out of the ashes of World War II? We had the birth of the United Nations. We had the birth of the World Bank, the IMF, the Bretton Woods system. And back in 1968, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations which I call that deep state headquarters in the United States. His name was Lincoln Bloomfield, and he was commissioned by the State Department to create a report, and the name of the report gives it all away. It was called A World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations. And his task was to figure out how do we get from where we are today, a world of relatively sovereign nation states, to the ultimate objective, which is a world effectively controlled by the United Nations. And his conclusion was, and I'm almost quoting verbatim here, I don't have it in front of me, but this is almost exactly what he said, war or the threat of war are the fastest means for transforming national attitudes and moving us in that direction. So we're going to see much more of that. There's several other agendas at work, and actually not too long ago I came on your program and did an entire episode on the Russia-Ukraine situation. So if people want to go back into the archives and listen to that, they can hear that. But they are definitely advancing the New World Order agenda and the Great Reset agenda through this conflict.
Indeed. I mean, look at President Zelensky of Ukraine. I mean, banning political parties, alleging they've got Russian ties. We understand he's taking control of the media, even putting into place the infrastructure for digital ID, the social credit system. There is a lot that's going on, Alex.
Yes, there is. And Zelensky himself, you know, if he were in the American political context, he would be on the radical left-wing fringe of the Democrat Party. He is a radical pro-abortion advocate. He's a radical advocate of the LGBT agenda. He's an advocate of huge government. He's an advocate of total gun control, at least he was prior to the invasion of his country. He parades around in tight leather and high heels on television. And his entire political career, a lot of people don't realize this, but his entire political career was the result of the media company owned by a Ukrainian oligarch, Ihor Kolomoisky, owns several big media properties in Ukraine. And this oligarch actually put together a show for Zelensky where Zelensky played the president. He was supposed to be just this normal, average guy who one day spoke out very vigorously against the oligarchs, and suddenly the people made him president. And then, you know, he made all his buddies cabinet ministers. Something that's important to know about Ihor Kolomoisky is that this is the same Ukrainian oligarch who owned Burisma Holdings. That's the so-called energy company that had Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, as a board member earning $50,000 a month. That was all being investigated by this prosecutor that then Joe Biden stepped in and got that prosecutor fired. So there's all these connections that we're not being told about that we need to be told about, because you really can't understand what's happening if you don't have all the facts, and the media is not going to give them to you.
Friends, if you go to crosstalkamerica.com, crosstalkamerica.com, and in the search engine, just put in the word Newman, you'll find Alex's recent program that he did with Dalton on March the 8th on Ukraine, Russia, and China. Very well worth listening to that broadcast. Alex, this Great Reset goes even beyond energy. It goes beyond some of these matters that we've talked about this far. And I bring this up because it is every tentacle that's out there. Just earlier this week, it's reported in the Human Dignity Trust that there was a landmark decision by the UN Women's Rights Committee found that the criminalization of consensual same-sex intimacy between women is a human rights violation. It's a violation of the UN Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, not to allow these relationships. I mean, promoting the LGBT plus agenda is also part of the Great Reset.
Yes, it absolutely is. And the United Nations is at the forefront of that. In fact, their LGBT czar, homosexual and a homosexual activist from Thailand, famously, and I wrote an article about this at the New American, publicly said while he was in Argentina that we've got to get this in the schools so that we can break down the old cultures. And he actually said, this is a direct quote, the younger the better, right? The younger we can get these kids' minds filled with LGBT propaganda, the better off we will be. And I hope Christians will seriously think about this. You know, human rights is really a Christian concept, at least it was, because God gave individuals rights. This is what our founding fathers believed. They took these ideas from the Bible that God gave us a right to life. The purpose of government is to punish evil, and therefore if someone takes your right to life, that is evil and they must be punished. This is where our founders got their ideas from. And so this is a biblical concept, but when the UN took over this idea of human rights, it really became the exact opposite. Under the UN view, human rights are given to you by government. They're given to you by international instruments and treaties. And if you read the UN's own Universal Declaration on Human Rights, this comes through very clearly. And that's how you can end up at these absurd propositions, like you have a human right to sodomy and a human right to murder your baby, but you don't have a human right to live and not be murdered. It's simply unconscionable, but it results from the UN's perverted understanding of human rights.
I want to bring one further topic in, and this will take us through this segment here. And friends, we'll try and take your calls in our final segment. But Alex, there's this strange thing coming out of the World Economic Forum, and I know you can likely say his name better than I can, Yuval Noah Harari, but a futurist with the World Economic Forum whose mission is to prepare humanity for transhumanist. Explain what that term is and what are they seeking to do here?
Well, I've had my eyes on Yuval Noah Harari for many years now. I've been following him, and so have the global elites. Barack Obama recommends his books. Angela Merkel recommends his books. He's very close with the World Economic Forum. He's delivered several keynote addresses there. In fact, he and Klaus Schwab are buddy-buddy. And Yuval Noah Harari, in addition to being a homosexual activist and a homosexual, is also one of the leading, I would call him a stenographer for the transhumanist movement. He is one of the leading writers on this topic. He's been writing on this for quite some time. And one of his most recent books actually gives the whole agenda away. It's called Homo Deus. No, he's not accusing God of perversion. But what he is doing is he is making the argument that as we start merging with machines, as we start upgrading ourselves, he calls it upgrading. We're going to upgrade ourselves by editing our genetic code, right? God didn't know what he was doing when he wrote our genetic code. Bill Gates and Yuval Noah Harari know better. So we're going to upgrade ourselves through genetic modifications. We're going to upgrade ourselves through technological implants, microchips in the brain. And this is what he says, right? This is not me accusing him. You can read his books. But he argues in Homo Deus that essentially we are going to become like gods. We're going to become kind of God men, and we're going to then take charge of our evolution. We're going to take charge of our destiny as a species. And he says that the end result of this will be the actual elimination of what he describes as Homo sapiens, the human being as we know it. He says the next creature that's going to dominate this planet is going to be so superior to human beings as we know them that it's going to be like the difference between human beings and monkeys. And this is what he's openly pushing. This is, again, it's not me accusing him of this. This is what he himself says, and I've got all the video clips of him talking about this.
Well, Alex, I know this topic is much more than what we can get into right now, but we're going to have you come back, and we'll do a full program just on this transhumanism because there is so much that's going on behind the scenes and much that our listeners need to know about. Alex Newman with us here today on Crosstalk. And friends, we're going to open our phone lines. Our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Pick up your phone, give us a call. And Alex, I know another area here just to mention, but private property also in the crosshairs. I think it was Klaus Schwab who said, you will own nothing and be happy. I mean, private property is also in the crosshairs.
Yes, it is. And that was a video put out by the World Economic Forum. And it had what they call predictions for 2030. And the very first one was, you will own nothing, but you'll be happy. And I mean, for some frame of reference there, private property is one of the bedrocks of Christian civilization. It's one of the bedrocks of what it means to be a free human being. It was God who said, thou shalt not steal, thereby ordaining and officially proclaiming that there should be private property rights. And those who don't own private property, there's a number of different categories of people who don't own private property. There are serfs, right? There are slaves. There are prisoners. And then, of course, there's livestock. But in this vision that they have, it's not that nobody will own anything. I mean, they actually say there, you're going to have to rent stuff. Well, who are you going to rent it from? The people who own it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's them.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, we'll take a quick break. I see our lines are already packed, so we'll come back to your phone calls here in just a moment. Alex Newman is with us. Again, you can stay abreast of so many issues here at thenewamerican.com. Alex also has libertysentinel.org. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the world. Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. How did we get where we are today in America, where we have such lawlessness? My friend, former Assistant Deputy Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI, Terry Turchie, declared in a television special that I hosted in November of 2021 that America is no longer under the rule of law. How did this happen? Well, one way is we rejected the belief in absolute truth in a fixed constitution based on the constitutional republic belief of the laws of nature and nature's God. Justice Holm of the U.S. Supreme Court declared, quote, "The felt necessities of the time, the prevalent moral and political theories, have a good deal more to do than the legal reasoning process in determining the rules by which men should be governed," end quote. Many of these individuals sitting at the highest levels of the court have proclaimed that society evolves, morals evolve, the law evolves. That's how we've reached the point we are today.
Friends, I trust that you'll get a copy of the program today. It's available. You can just, within a couple hours, it'll be uploaded on our website. Send links to others to keep them informed. CDs we make available for donation of $6. If you need a hard copy, available by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. Alex Newman is with us today. Let's go right to the phone lines, and let's go to Birmingham, England. We have Robert calling. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Hi. Good evening, Jim and Alex. Just quickly, about half an hour ago, Alex mentioned the proposals from the International Energy Agency, and in one list of these, number three is car-free Sundays. Now, I see this as a subtle attack on our convenient practice of Christians meeting together in church.
So let me interrupt, Robert. You said car-free Sundays?
Car-free Sundays is in one of the lists of proposals from the International Energy Agency. So I see this as a subtle attack on our ability to meet together as Christians for normal functions on a Sunday, especially if a preacher has to get to a church where there's no other option than to use their car, or where you've got disabled people for whom there is no other option than being transported by car.
Right, right. Thank you.
Interesting thought. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Robert, I mean, that's another way to shut down the church, is it not?
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in, Robert. I had actually seen that, and it goes right along with what we've seen. And during the COVID hysteria, I think it became so obvious you couldn't ignore it anymore. On the one hand, they were telling us that you couldn't go out of your house for anything except essential reasons, and they said it was essential to go get abortions, it was essential to go to liquor shops, to marijuana shops, it was essential to go to Walmart, but it wasn't essential. In fact, it was prohibited to go to church and to go to your local supermarket. So their agenda is very clear. They are fully intending to wage war on the church. In fact, I would argue they already are waging war on the church. And that car-free Sunday sure sounds like a very convenient way to help limit the number of people who can come to gather and fellowship together, as we're commanded to do in Hebrews chapter 10.
And friends, let me just remind you, just a couple weeks ago or so, we had James Coates on, Pastor James Coates from Canada, a pastor who was arrested for keeping his church open. And, I mean, he was put in a maximum security cell, put in shackles and handcuffs because he had his church meeting on Sunday when the Canadian government said close it down. He co-authored that book, God versus Government, Taking a Biblical Stand When Christ and Compliance Collide, and examines Romans 13 compared to Hebrews 10:25 that Alex just mentioned here. And just a reminder, through March 31st, that's just a couple days from now, the VCY bookstore is offering that at half off, normally $17.99. They have it for just $8.99, plus any applicable tax or shipping. It's available at vcy.com or 1-888-722-4829. We've got Kevin next in South Dakota. You're on the air, Kevin.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just listening to the program here and just thinking back into the late 90s and 2000, and I appreciate, Alex, your work you've done for the past how many years, but I guess my comment's a little bit off the beaten path here, but yet how we have given over, empowered the foreign countries in their manufacturing process in the late 90s, early 2000. Of course, out here in the Midwest, you have to go east to get any kind of real industrial equipment. But anyway, So in traveling to Minneapolis, Minnesota, to a big dealer up there that sells machine shop equipment, but after looking back on it there, there wasn't hardly a time that we didn't go up there over a period of 2 or 3 years to go look to purchase some type of equipment. As the United States was coming to CNC, this older non-CNC equipment was going overseas. And it was interesting at that time, their tech support guys would be gone for months at a time over there setting up equipment, non-CNC equipment that we provided, and the know-how to run this stuff and the manufacturing of products that we needed. I just find that ironic looking back at this, how we've enabled other countries to, you know, here we are being overpowered by their manufacturing process that we showed them and gave them. And that was just something I'd just comment on, Alex, is something, you know, as we're talking about, we basically handed over so many things that we've developed and given empowered the other countries to do.
Thank you, Kevin. Alex, I know you'd agree.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in with that story, Kevin. And this has been a problem for probably a century at this point. One of the most horrific things that happened, I think, during the entire Cold War was described as the Lend-Lease program. And during this, the U.S. government literally built entire factories for the Soviet Union, tank factories, truck factories, tractor factories, missile factories, under the guise of allying with them. And of course, this continued even long after World War II was over. And this has been a pattern throughout the last 100 years, where the U.S. government and major American corporations, especially those in the Rockefeller orbit, the CFR orbit, have been deliberately deindustrializing the United States, deliberately sending our technology, our resources, our money overseas. And this continues to this day.
Yeah.
BlackRock, the largest asset manager on the planet with $10 trillion under management, they're funneling American investment into communist China right now as we speak. They're taking our pension funds, our tax monies, and funneling it into China so that they can build more factories, they can steal American technology, and this is all deliberate.
Let's go to Dick in Washington. You're on the air, Dick.
Thank you, Jim, and Alex, great program. Something I find very interesting, with all the shenanigans going on in the Ukraine with Russia, I've not heard one person talking about kicking Russia out of the UN and at least out of the Security Council.
Yeah. Interesting point. Thank you, Dick. Let me just squeeze a couple more in. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Alex if he felt the 2030 timeline was still on track.
Alex?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I think if things were to continue as they are, no. The idea that they would be able to eliminate the private property of billions of people on the planet in less than eight years now, seems almost inconceivable. But I think the wild card that needs to be factored in is the fact that they frequently create or at least weaponize crises. And so Klaus Schwab has been talking a lot about a cyber attack lately. The Russians, of course, have a lot of different cyber technologies. So does the U.S. government. So do many other governments. So a nice cyber attack that wiped out banking records, that wiped out property ownership records, that's one feasible way to do it, a major global conflagration. And then the other more important wild card is the fact that God is still on the throne. And so these people can make all the plans in the world that they want to, but ultimately, if God doesn't want to allow something to proceed, that's the end of it. It's not even the topic of discussion. So we'll have to see how things play out, but 2030 is their timeline.
Thank you, Merle, for the call. That music says we've run out of time. We apologize to other callers. Friends, you've got the information, and we encourage you to get copies of this program, share the info with others. Alex, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Jim. God bless.
And friends, God's still on the throne. Keep your faith. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.